Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Wonderful seeing all of you this morning. It's a nice, beautiful, warm chapel, being together as a family of God. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians this morning. If you could turn your Bibles, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We will read 2 through 5. It states, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Well, first, I'd like to say we're 57 days into the new year. How's your prayer life going? Hope it's going well. Prayer is, for the most part, an untapped resource, an unexplored area where untold treasure remains unearthed. Author F.B. Meyer once said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." Jesus said in John 16:24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So by his own emphasis, Jesus placed prayer at the heart of Christian living. Instead of it being something we do every day, like breathing, eating, walking, and talking, it seems to have become like that little glass-covered box that on the wall that says "break in a case of emergency." You ever walked? I mean, where I work, all different terminals, they're everywhere. "Break in case of emergency." It is true that so very often we associate prayer with crisis in our life. Prayer is, for the most part, an untapped resource, an unexplored area where untold treasure remains to be unearthed. It's talked about a lot, more than anything else, and practiced less than anything else. And yet, for the believer, it remains one of those greatest gifts our Lord has given us outside of salvation. When you read here in verse 2, where Paul said, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant," Paul was somebody who understood prayer and its power. Prayer was a part of Paul's life, and he took it for granted that it would be a part of the life of every Christian. But sadly, it's not. You cannot really be a good Christian and not pray. Just like you cannot have a good marriage if you don't talk to your wife. You can be a Christian and not pray, just like you can be married and not talk to your wife. But in both circumstances, let me tell you, you're going to be miserable. Prayer is the pipeline of communication between God and his people, between God and those who love him. So this morning we're going to look at 4 very important areas that we need to practice. Number 1, pray with persistence. Here again, Paul begins by saying in verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer." In the original language, it says "continue steadfastly in prayer." The word translated "continue steadfastly" is one word in the original language. It can be translated "persist in, adhere firmly to, or remain devoted to, or to give unremitting care to." It carries with it the idea of dedication. Of the 10 times it is used in the New Testament, 4 of them have to do with being devoted to prayer. It is a very powerful word, and in this verse is given as an imperative or a command. In other words, persistence in prayer is not an option for the Christian. It is the order. It is an order from the Lord himself. Two of the most instructive parables Jesus ever told on prayer, one in Luke 18 and the other in Luke 11, both have to do with being persistent and not giving up in prayer. Luke 18:1 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Luke 11:9 is where we find the promise that says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Each of those verbs are in the present tense, active voice, and could be translated keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus does not want us to give up in prayer. He is instructing us to be persistent. Now, there is a difference between a persistent prayer and a long prayer. A person who is persistent in prayer does not necessarily have to pray for a long time. Persistence means not giving up. Some people give up easy. They quit because they say, "Oh, I don't have the time to pray. The joy's gone, the feeling's gone." But we're not to live by our feelings, but to live by the commandments of our Lord, who tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Brothers and sisters, it is a temptation of Satan to make you give up reading the word and praying when your enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the word of God when we do not enjoy it, and as if it were no use to pray when you have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we must continue to read the word of God. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. Don't give up. The less we read the word of God, the less you're going to desire to read. And the less we pray, the less you're going to desire to pray. You must be persistent in prayer. Obey the Lord's command in this. Number two, very important. Pray with passion. If you are persistent in something, it stands to reason that you are passionate about it. In fact, Paul says we should be vigilant, be watchful. This describes passionate prayer. Jesus was passionate about his prayer life. It was something he was always doing. It was a part of him. And he wants it to be a part of you. Prayer meant so much to Jesus. It was his regular habit, no matter what the case, whether slight or serious. When hard pressed by work, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he found it in prayer. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, he had recourse to his one unfailing habit of prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer. And every time we see Jesus praying, he was praying with passion. You could see, you can feel it, you can see it in the word when you read it. In Luke 3:1, at his baptism, while he was praying, the heaven was opened. Passionate prayer opens heaven. In Luke 6:12, before he called his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Passionate prayer, my friends, gives direction. In Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. Passionate prayer enables us to exercise the glory of the Father. In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, passionate prayer impacts the lives of others. In Matthew 26:39, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is only through passionate prayer that we can pour out our hearts to God. In Luke 23:24, as Jesus hung on the cross, a life that is lived in passionate prayer will enable us to maintain that spirit even in the most difficult circumstances. And here he was on the cross dying for you and me. And he was praying. Jesus always prayed with passion because he knew who it was he was praying to. And he knew that prayer to the Father is a powerful thing and not something to take lightly. Prayer from the heart, that's what passionate prayer is. It is prayer from the heart, not just from the head. That is how Jesus taught us to pray, not only through his example, but specifically through his teaching. Look in Matthew 6:7, in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus instructs on prayer. It is here that we find the Lord's Prayer. But just before the Lord's Prayer, what does Jesus say? Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." What has happened to the Lord's Prayer? People repeat it as if it was some kind of magic mantra that will bless them or move God to hear them. They're doing with it is exactly what Jesus was instructing us not to do with it. The Gentiles, when they prayed, tried through their religious repetitions, with their chants and their mantras, to call forth or impress God. This is not what you do when you're in a relationship. You don't tell your wife, "Oh, I love you. Oh, I really love you. And I just wanted to tell you today that I love you. I'm so glad that I just had this time to just say I love you. Please feed the children. Please clean the house. And may all go well with you. Amen." I don't think many women like that one. No. James 5:16. "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Jot that down. I'm telling you, write that down, memorize it. That's beautiful scripture. Okay, number three, third important area. Pray with thankfulness. Paul never fails to mention it. Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks always to all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It tells us that thanksgiving is the natural result of being filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which you have been blessed with. Don't grieve it. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." 1 Timothy 4:4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." Brothers and sisters, expressing gratitude does several things. It articulates dependence. It demonstrates relationship. It communicates gratitude and proper attitudes. And it generates humility. Number four, pray making intercession. Intercessory prayer is basically praying for others. It is praying for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. Intercessory prayers characterized the prayer life of Jesus. It did. Read, it's there. Greatest teacher, the greatest example for us. Luke 22, 32. Jesus tells Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Romans 8, 34 tells us that Jesus, who is even at the right hand of the Father of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 25 says, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus prayed intercessory prayers. He was ever praying for others. Understanding the power of prayer, Paul wanted to be sure the Colossian Christians understood what it was they were to pray for. He wanted them to pray with a specific purpose. He wanted them to pray for him, asking God to open a door so that they could speak the gospel. It was the gospel that Paul lived for. It was the preaching of the gospel that had landed Paul in prison. It was the preaching of the gospel that was always on the forefront of Paul's mind. You see, Paul wanted God's kingdom to expand. Like Jesus, he was concerned about others, about their souls, their salvation, and their sanctification. But I want you to make a note here, which I found really, humble. It was humbling. It's important to note that Paul is not asking them to pray for his legal situation or that he would be released from prison. He's asking them to pray that he will have the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ. He didn't care about himself. He was thinking about others, which I found very humbling. Paul wanted their prayers to be in accordance with God's will, not simply after greedy desires of someone living for this world. Paul was always concerned with doing the will of God. How many of our prayers are directed at the expansion of his eternal kingdom rather than the expansion of our own petty kingdoms? If you were able to chronicle your prayers, which I recommend, get a prayer journal. It's awesome. Write in there your prayers and how God has answered them. Do that. But if you were able to chronicle your prayers, knowing how much time you spent praying for different things, how much of your time would be spent praying for your family, for their health, for the health and well-being of your loved ones, compared to how much time you were praying for the lost who are headed to hell? Intercessory prayer, my friends, it changes things. Do not underestimate it. It changes things. You see, when you pray for others, when you pray for God's work to be done, for his will to be accomplished, he will begin to use you and grow you in ways that will astonish you. Pastor and an elder one time came up to me many, many, many years ago, and I was a struggling young man, I was a Christian, and they took me aside and they prayed and they said, "You know, Eric, you need to really build into your prayer life because God will show you things you never knew." And I remember another time where Cheryl and I were at our baptism. We were being baptized on this day, on one day, and after the service, many people came up to us. I was absolutely floored. I was a young Christian, 1995, new believer. Just all these people came up to us and said, "We've been praying for you. We've been praying for you and your wife, your family." We had three kids at the time, and my dad was there, and I'm like, "Wow, yeah, my father." One of the pastors spoke with my dad, and later on in years, my dad ended up becoming a believer. It was praise God. But I didn't know these people. I didn't know idea who they were, and they're praying for us. Intercessory prayer works, my friends. Sometimes I think we do not become what God wants us to become because we are too focused on ourselves and not on others. It is when we pray for others that we will become more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, God will grow us more, show us more, and use us more. We must pray for others. Prayer forces us to wait. Part of prayer is always waiting for God. And God has three answers: yes, no, and wait. His yes is yes and his no is no. Waiting is tough. It's tough. And I think there is at times a tension that builds up in us to resolve this situation. And, you know, we must become more persistent in prayer when that happens. Don't get frustrated. Don't. And accept God's answer when it finally comes. He loves you and he has the best for you. Instead of getting frustrated that God is not on your schedule, pray forces us to be on God's schedule. That's the way it is. Prayer opens our spiritual eyes. Prayer opens our eyes, enabling us to see what God is doing, to see things we are blinded to without prayer. That's because prayer is communication. We speak to God, God answers us, and he shows us. He does. Prayer aligns our heart with God's heart, setting our thoughts, emotions, and actions. Prayer enables us to move forward. Prayer engages the Lord. It enables his people to get in touch with what he is doing and how he is doing it. And that enlarges his kingdom for his purpose and his purpose only. Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." Once we have prayed, we are ready to do anything. Until we have prayed, we can do nothing, my friends. But once we have prayed, we can accomplish anything with the Lord God. So, my friends, as we close out this message, what does your prayer life look like this morning? Are you persistent in prayer? Are your prayers passionate, or are they performed merely as a routine duty? Hasty, superficial, lacking interest, care, or are they weak, timid, and lacking faith? What about gratitude and humility? How much time have you spent thanking God for all he has done for you? And who are you praying for? Is there anyone in your life that you are praying for to be saved? I'd like to close us out in Psalm 5, 1 through 3. This is a psalm of David. I like the title, it's beautiful, A Prayer for Guidance. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. So brothers and sisters, friends, let today be the start of your daily prayer strategy. Start today. And let it be with purpose and meaning. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer and how you taught us to pray. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the importance that you placed on prayer in helping us to serve in our roles as your servants. Lord, the praying is ours to do, and thus we ask for your intervention for whatever is going on in our lives or in this world, and obey your prayer and obey your prayer lessons, nothing will change. May we repent of any prayerlessness in our life and become a people of prayer. And we pray this now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll have a brief interlude, and then there will be a community devotional given to us by our beloved Pastor James.